Hi, welcome to The Word Warren. We're going to talk about books.
Books.
Justin's here.
Hello.
Justin's back.
Yay.
We said you were too scared to come talk about spooky books with us last time, so.
I'm a giant chicken.
We're glad you're back.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back.
And Hannah on the controls.
Always. Just sliding all the buttons.
And me, your host, Sarah.
Yay!
I'm glad you are getting better at introducing yourself.
Yes. Yeah. I'm trying. So, yeah, we're just here to talk about the holidays are coming up. So, you know.
It's November. So, like.
It's time to start thinking about buying gifts for people, I guess.
Yeah.
Spend them that money, supporting capitalism.
I like to think of it as the time of the year where I get to buy book people books.
Nice.
And be the hero that gives book people books when other people don't give them to them because they think they have too many books, but there's not too many books.
But also the villain who gives non-book people books.
Also
Ooh,
the villain.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, less of a villain, more of a my brand of subtlety is what I like to call that.
I love giving people books, even if they're not bookish.
Yeah, I adore giving people books. I'm just like, hey, this book made me think of you, and I think you'd really like it.
There's that. I always hope for that magic, like silver bullet of a book that turns a non-reader into a reader.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I've done it a couple times,
cool.
like with kids, like my nephews. Mm-hmm. Feeding them, what is it? Ender's Game is one of my favorite books to give my nephews when they, or, any kids really, when they hit that age where they're, understanding their, because my family is a temper heavy family, and understanding your temper, right? Like, is Ender, have you guys read Ender's Game?
No, I haven't.
So, Ender's temper.
I'm sitting over here shaking my head. Yeah. Yes, I have.
His temper is interesting and important for him to understand and harness, right?
Okay.
And so I give it to the kids in my family, and it sort of is a, it really connects on that level.
Mm-hmm. Is Ender's Game the Every Way Is Up?
Yep.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Okay. It's been a long time, but I like that sticks in my head a lot, just looking at things from a new perspective because every way is up.
Yeah. Yeah. I was in Taekwondo for a bit when I was younger, and that was an important lesson for me is every way is forward in Taekwondo. You just turn your head and turn your foot a little bit.
Yeah.
And you can turn a stance from your left to your right. You can just switch positions by just a subtle shifting.
Yeah.
And people like, some people think you have to turn around, but you don't.
No.
You just have to look the other way and then, just drop your other arm. And I don't know. It's a lesson that, I used in matches.
It really helped with my, critical thinking. Thinking, you hear, think outside the box. Think outside. And it didn't really ever click to me, as a kid, what that really entailed until that, every way is up. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's what thinking outside the box is. It's realizing that the box is like a three-dimensional object and you can literally do anything in any direction.
Yeah.
And there are multiple ways to problem solve beyond what you think is okay.
Yeah. I mean, a good question when people think outside the box, why are we in a box anyway?
Why are we in a box?
Is a box the right shape for this? What are we?
Should we be in a cylinder maybe?
Yeah. Why is this here? Why is this like this, and when did it start being like this?
Can I offer an octagon?
Yeah. Can I interest you in a triangle?
Polyhedral.
It gets... Cool. It'll fit. But yeah, I love giving those books, and I feel like that, those books have turned some people.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's great. Also, books for kids. Don't forget graphic novels, guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're
finally here. I developed those habits years ago, right? But now we do have YA graphic novel. We do have great, drama and sisters. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Gosh, Heartstopper, one of my favorite things, right? Mm-hmm. So much good.
We were talking about it before. I think we were talking about it on Game Cabinet specifically.
Hmm.
We were talking about how so much classic literature now is translated into graphic novel form.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That it's so much more accessible to a lot of kids because with learning disabilities like dyslexia and dyscalculia and stuff like that, reading a book in just standard font isn't always something that a lot of kids can do. Not everybody can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But a graphic novel gives you visuals and it gives you other input for your brain to read and it makes it so much easier. I know so many kids who have gotten into serious reading just from starting in graphic novels.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people are like, that's not That's not a book. Yes, it is.
Those are the same people who are on Facebook all day shortening everybody's attention spans.
Yep.
Right? Like, look, that's not a book. All right. Like, but you've quoted me 4 articles today that you've only read the headlines to, so I'm not sure.
I don't know if I really care about your opinion.
Man, every time I share a post on Facebook and it's like, this has an article, are you sure you don't want to read it first? I'm like, oh man, yeah, no, I do have to read it.
That's kind of the rule.
That's kind of the rule. I will share occasionally and I'll just put in my post being like, I'm sharing this because I don't have time to read it right now and I want to read it and I don't want to lose it.
Yeah.
If you've read it, tell me what it's about.
Also, tell me if it's trash. Thank you.
And then usually I'll go back and read it, and if I like the article, I'll keep my post up, and if I don't like the article, I will delete my post.
Yeah, yeah. And then it never happened. Bye.
And it never happened, except the internet is forever, and it remembers always.
I think about that a lot when people are like, they talk about graphic novels not being real books, and there's people who, even though the studies show the graphic novels help kids learn how to read better and faster,
yeah,
they still push against it, and I don't think they're taking into account that we're shortening people's attention spans. COVID hurt reading levels.
Oh, COVID hurt reading levels so bad.
So bad. One of the people who work here works at a library at a school, and they were telling me that they have this dot system that is a color system for the books. And it's, you know, grade level 1 is this color, grade level 2 is this level. And, you know, grade level 2 was dark blue dots, but most 5th graders are reading those right now.
Yeah.
Because their growth was stunted hard.
The
librarians had to adjust.
We lost 2 years of education, and we're still struggling to get fully back into school now.
Yeah.
Like, 2 solid years of education was lost, and a lot of people did their best to keep stuff going at home, but there's only so much you can do when you don't have the credentials to teach that stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of people's, you know, a lot of kids' families work.
Yeah.
You know, they have both parents working. They don't have time to be a full-time teacher on top of their full-time jobs.
Taking care of their family. Yeah.
It hurt. I know that a lot of places are also looking at, like, just absolute abysmal enrollment in school right now, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't blame them. A lot of people are keeping their kids home still.
Yeah. Right. I mean, there's lots of reasons to do it now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So many.
Not
reasons.
Just COVID, but it is the culture that came from COVID and then, you know, and the violence that was there before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate. School is not a safe place for kids, and that's really sad. Yeah. I think school should be the safest place for a kid to go. I think that should be our number one priority, is making our houses of education bastions of safety for people.
I think before that, we need to agree on what safety is, too.
Also agree with that.
Like, what is good?
I know that me and a lot of politicians right now do not have the same opinion on what is safe. I don't want kids getting shot at school. That's my ideal of safety, is I don't want kids getting murdered at school.
And I'm a person who, I, you know, have my concealed weapons permit. I carry, and I'd give it up today if it could stop kids from getting shot.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Like, I don't want that if that's what it, you know.
Yeah.
If that's what it creates, I don't care. Like, so I'm on a weird line of, it's funny because I'm registered, right? And so I get a ton of phone calls and emails and letters in the mail asking me to vote a certain way because they tie gun ownership to a certain branch. And I'm not that branch. And it's pretty funny to me, right? Like,
yeah.
I'm on a weird line. I really, I like having my gun ownership, but.
So what we're saying is bringing this back.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is buy your kids books and graphic novels for the holidays.
Wow. No, that's fine. We did good, right? That was on topic as usual.
We made it a whole 14 minutes in.
Oh, no.
A whole 14 minutes. It's a positive for me. I did a good job.
Sorry. Good job, us.
Let's protect the kids. Give them books.
Dude, I don't think that's a bad message.
Moral of the story.
Yes.
Give the children books.
Give the children books.
Yeah. I mean, it's so bad out there. Like, books are the place to hide.
Books are, yes.
I think.
I agree. What kind of books are your favorites to give out as gifts?
My favorite, typically just give all my nieces and nephews presents for the holidays. We don't typically, like, the adults in my family don't exchange gifts typically, but so I like to give children's and YA books.
Okay. That makes sense.
Them. Mm. Like books that I liked when I was a little kid or whatever. Or anything. Like, I mean, I don't keep up as much with like new popular releases in YA fiction, but you know, if I hear about one that's cool, then I like to give that.
Okay.
I like to give those ones. Yeah. So obviously all of my nieces and nephews are like graduated high school though now. So
you're going to have to start like, up in the ante a little bit.
Right. Yeah.
Do you give them all different books?
Like, yes. Yeah. Cool. Mm-hmm. So obviously when they were, you know, still reading picture books, I gave lots of Dr. Seuss and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. As is only proper. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm 33 and I'd be thrilled to get a Dr. Seuss book. I'd be like, wow, look.
You know how pumped I would be to get like a Dr. Seuss box set.
Oh, right.
Like brand new hardcovers, but those hardcovers, right?
The OG.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd be pumped.
I'd be so excited.
Go up in the living room, you know?
Yeah.
I just start crying. This is the best gift I've ever got.
Yeah. A Goosebumps box set.
Oh. If I got a Goosebumps box set. Yeah.
That was,
Especially since there's like 8,000 Goosebumps books.
Yeah.
And all of them good.
All of them are good.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Now I have to, I guess, I do have one nephew now who's just starting school and stuff. So, and he likes to read nonfiction.
Nice.
And I don't read nonfiction. So now I'm like,
nonfiction. So now
I have to start figuring out what to give him because he doesn't care about.
Get him all those
fantasy,
like
at all.
Get him all those like I Survived books,
right,
where it's just like
where it's like true stories.
Yeah.
And stuff. But he likes facts, so he likes.
Well, those I Survived books are like survival shit,
right?
Is he starting school?
Yeah.
So is he a dinosaur kid yet?
He does like dinosaurs.
There's so much like get children's dinosaur,
right?
Get him some of those Ripley's Believe It or Not books.
Yeah.
Those things were my favorite. Things when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. Like, I loved Ripley's Believe It or Not books.
And there's Ripley's Believe It or Not, and what is the record setting one? Guinness Book of World Records.
Guinness Books,
yeah. Kids love Guinness Book of World Records.
Guinness Books of World Records.
Yeah.
Love those.
Because those are like novelty facts. You know, like, hey, do you know that the most whatever, the tallest guy is whatever. It's super fun.
Yeah.
I really loved, I was like a big animal kid.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom got us that subscription, and I can't remember what they're called. They're just like animal facts, but they come in the mail like once a month.
Yeah, the little pamphlets.
Yes,
we used to get those.
Yeah, the ones that I got, the covers were like, they had yellow on them, but they were always like a big picture of the animal that you were going to be learning about. And then it was like a folder, and it was just filled with stuff.
Yeah,
And like
stickers.
Like a pamphlet and sticker, like a little booklet about the animal and all these cool facts. And then you got stickers and you got a whole bunch of. I had all of those. I loved those things. They were so cool.
My sisters had all of those, and I read them because they had them, and they were something to read new.
Right.
I got them every month.
I love those. I wonder what those are. I'm going to figure out what those are called.
I forget what they're. It's something super mundane. It's just like animal facts or something like that.
I used to get one because like you order your first one. I remember this one, and it got like a little 3-ring binder, and then they would send you one every month, and you could fill it in, and it had dividers, so you like found like it's a water animal, or it's a, I don't know, whatever it was.
I had that. Yep. My binder was packed full.
It was,
I had them until they had, like, they stopped, I don't know if they stopped running it, or if I just got to the end of the animals that they had, because, or if my mom just stopped paying for it, that could have been a thing, but eventually they stopped coming.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting is I never see those in donations.
It's because they're so cool. Nobody wants to get rid of them.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also, since they're not like actual books, it's kind of hard to like.
We get a lot of crazy stuff.
That's fair.
And I love it all, but we don't get those. And that popped up for me because we get.
I mean, if I still had mine, I would have just given it to like my cousin's kids.
Yeah.
Like I would have been like, these are so cool. Like give these to your kids.
Yeah.
You need to learn about penguins.
You need to learn about red pandas today. Have you heard about foxes?
Have you heard the good word about foxes?
Okay. How about you guys? What kinds of books do you guys like to gift?
Oh, man. So I'm a big, I love fantasy books. Like, that's what I read. And so I feel like I gift a lot of those because I'm always really hesitant to gift books that I haven't read.
Right.
I find a book and I'm like, ooh, this sounds like somebody might like this. But I don't know if it's a good book. Whereas, like, if I've read a book, I'm like, I loved this book. I don't know if it's quite your taste, but I loved it, and I think you should give it a shot. And so I gift a lot of books that I've read.
Yeah. Okay.
Just a lot of books that I've read.
I feel more comfortable here, like, now that I work here, giving books I haven't read because my sources are so... I can ask Erin, like, hey, Erin, what have you heard about this?
And
She hears through good channels, you know, like, through credible reading sites and through credible groups.
I also have to say that I've really enjoyed, like, since I started working here, making friends with people who enjoy getting books as gifts so much. Because I didn't buy a lot of gifts for my books for my family,
right?
Because we do not read the same stuff, and they would not appreciate a lot of the things that I read.
And you would not appreciate a lot of things they read.
I've been gifted a lot of books from my family, and I can confirm that none of them listen to this podcast, so I am A-okay to say that. I got a lot of self-help books from my family.
Yeah,
got a lot of self-help books from my family,
and self-help books are tricky because there's like,
but they were always very targeted self-help books, like very I'm an introvert and my family is not a bunch of introverts, so it's a lot of like how to be more outgoing and like how to, you know.
It sounds like when my sister gave me a nose hair trimmer.
See, now that's the kind of gift that gets given in my family, but it's because we love giving gag gifts to people. So, like, that would be the gift that you would open, and you'd be like, and then they'd be like, just kidding, here's your actual, like, that's the kind of.
No, mine was like, they gave it to me, and they're like,
You're like, ooh. You know.
And then I turned my nose hairs, and it was better. And I was like, all right, facts are facts.
Facts are facts.
But not so subtle.
Not so subtle. So, I did like, I got the gift of fear one year as a gift. And that was an amazing book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think that was the last book that I got from my family that I actually enjoyed.
Ashley Flowers from Crime Junkies pushes that book a lot.
It's a great book. It was a really, really interesting read. And it definitely changed my viewpoint on a lot of things.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you understand, because I have a decent understanding of like fear and, I don't know, pain kind of. I'm covered in tattoos for those who don't know.
Yeah.
So you learn the depths of that sometimes when you're getting sensitive parts of your body tattooed for hours on end. And learning about fear and understanding its usefulness and mechanism and not just letting it be this panic thing.
Mine, the what I really took away from it more than anything else was listening to your fear.
Yeah.
Because I come from a family that's very, like, a little bit, like, suppress negative emotions.
Yeah.
And fear is a negative emotion.
Got it.
Kind of thing. So, like, why are you afraid? Stop being afraid. There's no reason to be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of. And, like, reading that book and being like, no. Fear is a very primal human instinct, and a lot of times your subconscious is picking up on things that you're not paying attention to. Mm-hmm. You should maybe pay attention to it. If you feel fear, ask why.
Yeah.
And if the answer is just, I'm just nervous in this situation, that's an okay reason. But if it's like, I don't like how this person is acting, it's giving me the creeps, maybe that's a good notification to get away from that person.
Yeah. 100%.
And so I liked that a lot. I thought that was a good... The guy who wrote the book... has worked for, if you don't know, Sarah. He worked with celebrities with like stalking cases and stuff like that. Okay. Like that's his job, is to help them navigate how to get out of those kinds of situations. Mm. And so the whole book, he'll give like some examples of cases he's worked on. And then he just explains like, you know, how predators work and like the kind of mindsets they have and things like that. It is a really fascinating book.
Interesting.
And I loved it.
That sounds really good.
That's exactly what I take, right? Is that learning that fear is a warning.
Yeah.
And leave it at a warning that you handle.
Yeah.
But don't let it push you into the
exactly
blind
don't
panic.
Don't panic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When there's, because it's a warning
sign. Don't panic, bring your towel.
it's not a guarantee that everything's going to fall apart, though, you know?
Right. Yeah.
It's a warning system and react accordingly to the warnings that your system is giving you.
And I feel like destigmatizing emotions in general is just a healthy way to do it. Just, why am I feeling this emotion today? I'm feeling sad today. Why?
Yeah, well, it's the, if your fuse blows in your car, don't just replace the fuse. Figure out why it blew.
I don't have that kind of money.
Yeah. Well, old cars were a lot easier. You could just put a bolt meter on it and track that line down. Now you got to have a computer and an app. I got it.
Cost me, just spent $900 on my car.
My goodness.
It was my fault. I chose to.
See, I sold my car and I ride a bike.
I live 22 minutes away by car. I can't ride a bike that far. I mean, I could, but I would die.
Probably. Yes.
It's also
only the first time.
It's also all on the freeway and with cars driving 70 miles an hour.
Just back, like draft them, right? Isn't that what they call that when you. Yeah.
Just grab onto the back of a semi. Let's go.
Sounds like a good plan. Don't let your fear stop you.
I will let my fear stop me.
Well applied lesson. See, that was a test.
What about you, Justin? What kind of books do you give for?
I give a lot of YA to the kids because I give mostly presents to the kids, and I give a lot of short story books. Most of it's really looking for that silver bullet, and short stories are easily digestible.
Right. I love short stories.
And
anthologies are just the greatest thing that has ever been invented.
Yeah.
So good.
And I felt like one of the first books I ever loved was a short story book, Stephen King, Different Seasons. Mm-hmm. And I loved that book. And that's why breaking it into little chunks for some people if they're not big readers.
Right, yeah.
And if they are big readers, I give them signed books. Signed books are not... Mm-hmm. There's only... So out of... because I price a lot of books.
Yeah.
Only the top like 2 or 3% of authors, their books are expensive when they're signed.
Right.
Normally it only pushes them up a couple few dollars. And you get on like the R site, right? Or you find them somewhere and buy them, and they're not that expensive, really cool
they're
for book
really
people.
Not. Yeah. It's so neat to get a signed book, especially if you know somebody that has just a favorite author. They're just like, I love this author, and you can find a copy of a book signed. That's like,
yeah. That's a great gift. Yeah.
And
so good.
Like first editions, they're not always expensive. Yeah. Right. It's the top 2 or 3% of authors who are expensive, but you can get, like last year I got my mom, Dean Koontz is an interesting first edition because his first edition is a paperback.
Right.
His first edition is a ace double.
Mm. Oh, nice.
And so I got a really crispy, nice ace double for an affordable cost, right? But it was the first book ever published by Dean Koontz.
Yeah.
You know, find those guys, research them a little bit, find that first book and track it down.
Justin likes to give cool books.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing.
I like to be really thoughtful.
And like
in a little bit of research, I got time, right?
I'm like 3 days before Christmas. What book on my bookshelf can I get this person?
Something I've read already. What do I have? This book was all right. I don't want this copy.
Or I've somehow acquired 4 different copies of the same exact book. I can definitely give one of those
I have that habit, acquiring multiple copies.
I've moved a lot in my life. I've moved locations just a ton. And so I constantly have my books packed in some form or another. Yeah. And so over the years, I have acquired so many multiple copies of books because I don't remember every single book that I own.
Yeah.
And so I'll go to a bookstore and be like, oh, I really liked that book. I want to buy a copy of it. I want to read that. And then I'll end up unpacking my books and being like, I have 2 copies of that book. Of course I like that book. I've read it so many times.
That's all right. That's all right. It's a new surprise for yourself and then a present for someone else.
Yep. Exactly.
Exactly.
Exactly. Sorry. Speaking of the, you know, only the top 2% like books being expensive or whatever. I had a customer who came in, or I wasn't even here on the day. Somebody left me a message to look into this for a customer. It was because they're looking for hardcover copies of Moon Called and Bloodbound, which are the first 2 in the series, in the Mercy Thompson series by Patricia Briggs. And the really interesting thing about that is that those 2 books were paperback releases. And then they didn't get hardcover releases until, it was popular, and then it was like a pretty limited release in hardcover, even at that. And it's like $200 for a copy of Moon Gold.
And they're not even true firsts.
And they're not even true firsts. Yeah,
I think she just probably owns hardcovers of all the other ones. The other,
yeah, which I'm not just,
that bookshop. Yeah,
I'm not taking a shot. Like a full hardcover, even if they're not true firsts,
right?
Is,
yeah,
is
yeah.
a cool collection.
It's a cool collection.
So yeah. Cool.
But if you're on a budget trying to buy someone a present, knowing that those two are the firsts, right?
So right. Yeah,
you can get paperback true firsts of the two.
Of the two.
Mm-hmm. What is the series called?
Mercy Thompson.
Mercy Thompson. Yeah.
There's a reason why I have stopped buying hardcovers of Patty Briggs books, and it's because I own all of her books, and my collection is like half paperback, half hardcover, and I hate how that looks, and so then I go and rebuy the books I already own in paperback so that they fit the rest of the collection, which is a terrible thing, because then I've already read it in hardcover, and I'm not... Like, maybe I'll read it again at some point, but like, there's a lot of books in that series. And it's like, okay, well, I spent $30 on a hardcover, and now I spent $10 on a paperback. That's $40 total for the book.
And I collect paperbacks, not hardbacks.
To appease my OCD, I have to do it. I have the hardcovers over on one side of my shelf and the paperbacks over on another side of my shelf.
I just thought that was an interesting little thing, because like, it had a paperback release first before
I think that's really interesting. We get so used to like all new books being hardcover, but it's surprising how many of them aren't.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of new books that get published in paperback. And I don't hate it.
And then they get popular, then they get the
hardcover. And then they get the hardcover,
right? But it's that, you know, Anthem by Ayn Rand was released in a pamphlet form.
Right.
Really?
Yes. Yep. Yeah, the publishers in the United States refused to publish it because they told Ayn Rand she had no idea about socialism. She didn't understand it. And so they pushed back on her. And,
publishers!
Yeah. Yeah. And Ayn Rand was like, And she had a left-wing friend who ran a pamphlet publishing company. And so the first three versions of Anthem were pamphlets, like staple-bound pamphlets, because she couldn't get published.
I didn't know that. Yeah. That is so infuriating.
My mom got a copy of that. Because it was a cool present I could buy, right? Because it was accessible. But it was just, so interesting. And there's so many stories like that where they have to self-publish or they, you know, and it's these geniuses sometimes who are just not understood or, I mean, they're women, so they can't write about something.
Right. There's no way.
Oh, man. Ayn Rand, though.
Right? Publishers.
Well, because here's the thing. She's a woman, so she very can't clearly write about publishing or write about socialism. Mm-hmm. But also, she has to write YA books, and you can't publish that as a YA book.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Ooh. Could you add a teenage boy in there and a teenage girl and make them fall in love?
They, like, fall in love in the midst of a socialism.
Yeah. It's, oh, Lord. There's just tons of cool stuff like that.
Did you mean Hunger Games? Yeah. Did you mean Divergent?
Goodness, okay. There's one or two of those.
Just, you know, a couple.
It's a good recipe. Though,
hi, I don't know if you knew this, but kids' books are filled with a lot of political intrigue.
Oh, so much.
So much politics.
And romance. It's politics so layered romance. With romance. Mm-hmm. What kid stuff do they talk about in YA books?
It's coming of age stuff. Yeah. Oh, hey Carrie, tell us about the kid stuff they talk about in
YA.
Because we can't figure it out.
I have other microphones. Yeah, special. Carrie, hey, special look, guest. Carrie, come over here and tell us about
surprise guest.
Hey, Carrie, welcome to the Word Warren.
Welcome to the Word Warren.
Were you just dropping eaves on us?
Yes. Absolutely, I was.
I don't think hearing what I say is eavesdropping.
That's fair. That's fair. I did hear the most of Justin.
Most of Justin. He's on a dude using a bullhorn.
What kid stuff do they talk about in YA books?
So in YA books, a lot of school stuff, a lot of issues with friends and parents and family. It really addresses, they tend to address the sorts of social issues that kids are going to run into. But, you know, like, especially with the books that are intended for older teens, you don't see nearly as much of that. They're finishing high school. They're in college. Like, they're basically leading adult lives already.
They're written, almost from adult perspectives.
There are tons of... I mean, young adult is a genre now that is so heavily overlapped with the adult versions of each genre. There's young adult mystery. There's young adult romance. I heard y'all talking about the romance plots that come up in young adult a lot. And there is a lot of that even in younger young adult books. So the ones geared toward middle school.
Yeah.
But those tend to address more of Logan Likes Marianne is the name of a babysitter's club book that would address the same sort of thing, but just on a different maturity level.
Okay. I mean, it's coming of age. It's learning about our feelings and exploring first love. Yeah,
but sometimes in a fantasy or a sci-fi setting.
Or a dystopian.
Or, setting. You know, in whatever sort of genre setting that we're talking about. But,
yeah, anyway.
You know, maybe, because everything you listed off at the beginning, right? Family issues and school issues, that's all stuff that travels into adulthood, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the school issues just turn into work issues. And it's a different fishbowl to be in, right? And have to learn to navigate. Maybe they're not so different because everything's not so different, right?
That's real, right? Yep.
I still have the same, the same kinds of problems I had when I was a kid, the same types of interaction issues, And I work on myself and try to be better, but I'm built a certain way and that building I didn't change when I turned 21. Change when I turned 18,
I mean, if you think about it, young adults are really just practicing the social skills that they're going to be using in adulthood.
Mm-hmm. And we picked up our personalities before high school, right? Before middle school.
They definitely started, yes. Started forming early.
Right. I know some little, some four-year-olds, they're going to be that way forever. You can just see it. That's who you are.
Just precocious by nature, yeah.
I feel a little targeted here.
That's Justin, precocious.
Just precocious. He's just a precocious.
He's just overly precocious.
I'm a rascal.
You rascal. Oh, man. Oh, Carrie, thanks so much.
You're totally welcome. Feel free to call me over anytime. I'll be eavesdropping anyway.
Well, while you're here, though, what books do you get for the holidays?
Oh, or what kinds of books?
I really personalize it to who I like, to the receiver. So, for my little sister, I like getting short story collections because she does a lot of camping and travel. So I'll get stuff. For, cooking on a campfire. I know she can't really bring those books on trail with her. But I try to, find stuff that is interesting, but also, interesting to them particularly. Right. Mm-hmm. If I'm buying for a younger recipient, I tend to stick with ones that I've already read, just because I know there's a lot of sensitivity around the content of books these days, and parents like to know what their kids are reading, and that you can vouch for everything on that page.
That's interesting.
At least a couple of my family members would like to have that sort of you know for sure. You haven't just heard.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Do they do that with the internet and TV though as well?
I'm not totally sure. Yeah. I'm not sure how that applies to their household rules.
You know, that's the interesting part to me is that when I see that throttling or control over that information, I don't see it equally applied to the internet
television. Their social media, I know at least, is pretty, they don't really do that with the kids. They, at least as far
as I know.
That's
because books are the hot button topic right now. It's also why I don't buy books for the younger members of my families is because I am kind of the pariah of my family.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't trust any of the books that I buy.
To be fair, most of my family's very good about
oh no. My family,
they're okay with it. It's a book. They'll read.
Nice.
Yeah.
My family has the kids very well trained. You don't sneak stuff. Not yet, anyway.
I would do whatever. I'd just do whatever I want. So, I don't care. If I can't give your kid a book that I think is good, well, then you're not going to know about it, I guess. Like, I'll figure a way around it.
Precocious by nature.
My nephews think I'm cool. Nature. They'll lie from me.
Ooh.
Use what you got.
My nieces and nephews do Kristen. Not think I'm cool.
Not yet. They don't know yet.
No, because they don't know me because my family keeps me very separated from them. Mm. We don't get to talk in private. We don't.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. We get, like, if I ever get to talk to my, like, cousins' kids and, like, my nieces and nephews and stuff, it's always, like, family gatherings.
Mm-hmm.
And there's always other people there.
Hmm.
I'm not lying when I told you I'm the black sheep of my family. My family does not want me corrupting the children.
That's more than black sheep. That's like infection.
It's because I'm the only one of the children that hasn't come back to the church.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an adult,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't come back. And they are very much afraid of the things that I will tell the children.
Mm. Censorship in reading and in general,
yeah.
in like education is a huge thing right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Children, like school libraries,
mm-hmm.
books are getting just pulled off the shelf pending review, and librarians are so overwhelmed by the number of books that have been requested for this by parents and administrators that those books that are pending review just sit on the shelves for months, yeah. years.
Because they don't have the time to
Review them, which mm-hmm. means read it all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sorry that school librarians have other things to do
right.
than read every single book on their shelves.
Mm-hmm. I volunteer. I will do this. Yeah. Just call me. I will give you a book report of every single book.
It's just...
pay me.
We took such a hit in reading. For over the pandemic, right? You know what we should do? Let's make the librarians read books so that there's not a single butt in it. Instead of try to help kids learn to read and raise the literacy rates.
This is just going to be our
the slide too. Yep. It's so what happens every year between school years is what's called the summer slide,
mm-hmm.
where kids will backslide like 3 months worth of curriculum or so on average. And so the beginning of that next school year is all just review.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which and is, so, like, for me, summer was summer reading list time, right?
Oh, yeah.
That was summer library challenge time.
Yeah.
I didn't backslide in my reading. That's where I got the good reading in.
That's right.
Because there was no school to interrupt
it. Yeah,
thank you.
I loved summer for that exact reason. Like, I was ready for summer. I had my little book list, and I was like, let's get it.
Like, I was the same way, but I think kids like that are the exception rather than the rule.
Yeah. I mean, we've like, gotten this weird... Like, it used to be, like... I don't know. We've gotten this weird, like, kids just stay inside all day. Don't ever... forcing our kids to go outside. First of all, what's outside?
Kidnappers.
It's because there's no... outdoor spaces for them to gather there is no expectation for like to purchase things, like we removed all of those, like,
yeah,
because anytime kids gather and are having fun, some old person is like, those people
got my lawn.
Yeah, troublemaker.
Oh man, we like we had to do yesterday.
I mean, to be fair, those kids were troublemakers.
Mm-hmm. It's a difference between what the kids are doing and
I mean, filming people without their permission.
Yeah, it's not
cool.
Not cool.
Not cool.
No. Kids were doing.
They were, so they came were doing in, TikToks. It was a whole bunch of them. They were recording TikToks, and they would run up to employees and customers alike. And what I heard them ask was name and occupation.
Mm-hmm.
What they were asking was name and occupation.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like, I don't. It was uncomfortable and awkward, and we had to ask them to leave.
Somebody should have reacted with, what, are you a cop?
If I was here, they would have got something sideways from me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, officer. What's this about?
Yeah.
Nah, get out of here, little kid.
It wasn't cool.
It wasn't cool,
so we
had
to ask them to leave, and that was okay. They tried to come back into the cafe, mm-hmm. and... Candace just gave them some hard side eye from the like archway, and they turned right around and left.
But how are they going to tell people to go outside and play when, like, our city has a fire season?
Right.
Right.
Like, our air is unbreathable.
Our air is unbreathable.
For 3 or 4 weeks out of the year,
yeah.
The AQI is over 100 for probably 3 weeks worth of
time. We also don't have a lot of accessible green spaces.
Right. Yeah. We don't have, like...
And the heat is a problem an increasing problem all across the country. That's not just us anymore.
Yeah, across the world, right? Yeah. There's climate migration in India.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what we're saying is buy your kids books and let them stay inside.
Stay inside.
Books. We're circling back.
Maybe give them books about science so we can fix the climate.
Oh, hey.
There is the argument to be said that, like, general health is on the decline for kids as far as, like, weight and activity and all that sort of thing. But really, like, I also think we need to prioritize reading because that's been such an issue, especially post-COVID.
Mm-hmm. As someone who routinely used to read on a treadmill.
Mm-hmm. Hey, there you go.
You can exercise and read.
Yeah.
I have a park reading blanket.
Oh.
Right? It's got little weighted corners, so it stays down in the wind.
There you go.
I need to get one of those.
That's perfect.
And yeah, because I read in parks. When I take bike rides, and then I read in a park, and then I ride my bike back home. Mm-hmm. And it's a good day.
It's a great day.
Sounds like a lovely day.
I'm allergic to everything outside. The last time that I went and read out on my porch, which is a very lovely porch with a very lovely view, I had to call out of work the next day because my allergies got so bad.
Oh, no.
So I read inside and I look out my window at nature and go, it's so beautiful. I wish I could partake.
We'll enjoy it for you.
Allergies are going up too.
Right? Oh yeah,
it's
everything. Everything is going up.
And green spaces, like the green spaces we have, there are miles of cars next to them.
Yeah, and they're super inaccessible
because you have to drive to get to the outdoor space. There's nothing.
Yeah, back when I was a kid, we could walk to the park. Yeah. No, we couldn't because sprawl. I lived in the middle of nowhere, but that's not
every
the point.
Time I think about urban sprawl, it makes me angry because everything is only accessible via car.
Like, we need to bring back the era of
public transportation.
Oh, Carrie, you guys are making this so not book related.
Sorry,
so sorry.
I believe it's still book related.
There are some train books. Train books are super popular with kids.
Train books.
Here we go.
There are books about urban sprawl. There are books about city.
We should bring back sci-fi books about like utopian cities where it's like cities built in conjunction with green spaces.
Yes.
Ooh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Like those terraced apartment buildings where they have like just the plants built mm-hmm. on the side of the buildings mm-hmm. and stuff. Mm-hmm. Love those.
But if you look at the YA and stuff, the futures that they're looking at are not green.
Oh no, they are.
Right? There's no hope for green in the future for kids.
Yeah.
I mean, I read the news too.
Space bound or dystopian or dusty.
Or on giant tanks that are cities.
Mad Max.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all Mad Max.
Mad Max.
Yeah.
Mad Max Jr.
Mad Max Jr.
I'd read that series. The YA Mad Max.
I would totally read that.
On a built up bicycle, right?
We need to have Mad Max Jr. and Tank
tricycle.
Girl. Tank Girl Jr.
Thank you.
Tank Girl Jr. Okay.
Tank Girl Jr.
Tank Girl Jr.
Tank Girl Jr.
I don't know how you could make Tank Girl kid friendly.
I don't know, but.
But I believe that somebody it can be done.
I know you can.
Sure that it's doable.
Yeah.
I have faith in an illustrator.
Yes.
You just change this word to that word and you're fine.
Give her a little bit more clothing.
A lot more clothing.
There would be some redesigning.
You mean,
of course.
You mean clothing.
Yes.
Clothing. Any clothing at all.
Yes.
She would need a redesign.
But I want that.
I'd read that. I would read that comic.
You would kickstart that.
I would kickstart that. Yeah. I would kickstart that.
I mean, I'm all about dystopian books anyway, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I love dystopian books.
Well, lucky for you.
Oh, no.
So wonderful.
I didn't do it.
Anyway, okay.
So we should probably
wrap this up now. Yeah.
All right. The answer is buy books for people for Christmas. Encourage people reading. Mm-hmm. Through knowledge is the only way we can grow.
Yeah.
There's a book for everybody.
There is. I tried to think of a couple of different books to recommend for this one, too, like specific titles at the end here that are in a few different genres, just to try to. Really popular right now, if you like horror or dark fantasy, is the new Stephen King novel, Fairy Tale.
Mm-hmm.
It's just pretty popular right now.
that one on during Spooky Night.
Yeah.
At the cafe, that was a fun start. I had actually never read any Stephen King before.
Oh, interesting.
Nice. So this is my first
foray,
and I am very much enjoying it so far.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Very good. There's, for nonfiction readers, I just have to mention it because it's so popular, but it's, and now I can't remember the author's name, but it's I'm Glad My Mom Is Dead, is a biography of a she used to be a Disney star.
She's Sam from iCarly.
Okay, yeah. It's really popular. And it sounds fascinating. It does. Can't keep it in stock. It's flies off the shelves.
Matthew Perry's book seems to be the Friends guy.
Okay.
Yeah, that seems to be taken off right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. Still kind of on the fantasy realm, leaning towards sci-fi, is The Atlas Six by Blake. I forget, Olivia Blake, I think.
That sounds like an author.
I think that's right.
that sounds like a name.
Sounds like an author's name, yep.
Sounds like it's like magic, but very like mathematics focused. So there's like a lot of hard like math in the book too, is what I hear. So that sounds interesting. So like not really sci-fi, maybe mathematical fiction. I don't know. Sort of like Flatland, maybe.
There's a whole genre of math. Math magic.
Math magic.
Yeah.
Math and magic.
Math
magic. Isn't that the magicians or something?
Yes.
It
is.
What do they call that? That's called something math. Like in real life, there was a period of history where math was treated as like a form of magic and religion.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Something like sacred math. Geometry.
Sacred geometry. Yep. Yeah. Okay. And that ties into a whole. I should learn more about it because it's super
sacred
interesting.
Sacred geometry is so interesting.
Leonardo da Vinci did a lot with that.
Yes. Leonardo da Vinci did a whole lot. It's where we get like the Fibonacci sequence and fractals and things like that. It's super cool.
And there's a whole period of time where mosaics had it built into them, but they didn't really talk about it. Mm-hmm. And so there's a bunch of like hidden sacred geometry in things that we know and see.
Yeah. Architecture. Oh, yeah. It was huge in using an architecture and stuff because it was thought to be like, even without talking about it, it was thought to like bring good fortune and good luck and, you know, stuff like that. So they used it in a ton of architecture. So cool. I love sacred geometry. Mm-hmm.
Then the last one. Oh, yeah. Just because you mentioned Ashley Flowers earlier and she wrote a book.
Yeah.
And it's a mystery novel called All Good People Here.
Yep.
I've heard good things about it.
I've read it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Like it?
It's good. It's if any true crime person in your family, get that book for them.
Okay.
They will enjoy it. It's nice. A combination of new mystery and old true crime stories, actually. There's some like layering of JonBenet in there.
Okay.
And it really like uses some of those mechanisms from true crime that we know and then builds it into its own kind of story. I loved it.
Nice.
I loved it.
Nice.
Fabulous.
Yeah. I was so excited. I love Crime Junkies too, which is Ashley Flowers' podcast.
Yeah. It's a great podcast.
Yeah. It was so good. Buy it.
There you go. Yeah, buy it.
Here.
Buy it here. So you go to the link tree in the description of this video if you'd like to check out AU Underground.
Yeah.
Good try, Hannah.
Damn it. You better leave that in.
I will. It's in the after shot of the episode too. I have like the like if you like any of the titles we talked about, you can visit Adventures Underground and their online store. You can. It's all there.
It's all there.
They know how it works.
Listen, it took me like 4 takes to get those outros.
Yeah.
Without stuttering because I can't do them without scripts.
It's the same way, like, when I record phone messages for the voicemail downstairs, I have to do, I have to have my bullet points ahead of time, and then I have to do it, like, it usually takes me 2 or 3 days.
Well, I'm also in the mindset every time I'm up here, it's AU Radio, but the website is ADV.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm always like, AU, that's the wrong.
Read books.
Read books. Read books. They won't necessarily help you speak better, but you will help your brain.
Yep.
People do too much talking anyway.
I get paid to do this, so.
Same. Right? Right?
Right?
Sarah's like, wait, what?
You guys are paid to be here? What? Sarah, we had a conversation about
that. That was it. I just had a couple of titles.
So that's I think that's a good place to end the November, you know. Well, we hope everybody has if you celebrate Thanksgiving, have a good Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Hang out with your family if you, or hang out by yourself if you like being by yourself, because That's nice.
Sometimes good times, yeah.
Oh man, just quiet, eat some good food.
Yes.
Curl up with a book. Curl up with a book on the couch
with your dog or your cat or
your hedgehog or your snake
or just a blanket
or some tacos.
I mean,
yeah.
But make sure that you're not holding the book in the same hand as the tacos and getting taco grease all over your book.
Please be careful with the book.
Don't use a taco as a bookmark is what I'm saying.
Yes, try not to use.
And on that note,
that's the end of the episode. Wisdom.
That's the title of the episode, right?
That is. Just don't use a taco as a bookmark.
Yes, I love it. Okay. Well, hey, thanks for listening, gentle eye viewers.
Ear viewers.
What was it?
Ear viewers.
Listeners?
Ear viewers.
Until.
You've been listening to The Word Warren on AU Radio Podcast Network. If you're interested in any of the titles from today's episode, you can check out the link tree in the description to visit Adventure Underground at their online store or their virtual storefronts hosted by bookshop.org and libro.fm. Physical, digital, or audio, Adventures Underground has you covered. If you'd like to contact the show, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just check out that link tree in the description. Or you can email the show at podcast@advunderground.com. You can also support this show and all the awesome shows on AU Radio that you love by becoming a patron of the AU Radio Podcast Network. You can find us at patreon.com/advunderground. For as little as $1 a month, you can help us continue to create these shows and soon many more.
You've been listening to the AU Radio Podcast Network. Music is provided by CubbyPurplePlanet.com and BenSound.com. Views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Adventures Underground. AU Radio is a production of Adventures Underground. Copyright 2018. All rights reserved.